you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy.
Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then
That's right.
Then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And we just praise the Lord for you being here with us. We just look forward to this opportunity because we do believe that we are in a time now where there just needs to be some strong foundational messages given. Our churches are being, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are being filled with a lot of lascivious pastors and leaders who are in it for themselves, are in it to look grand. And, you know, this is a fundamental issue that is in our communities as African Americans, as well as in the white community or the others, Hispanics. You know, it's just something that's going on right now with the lack of fathers and the lack of strong leaders in our communities. We're getting a lot of people who are overly emotional. And this usually happens when, you know, you have men that are not in the home or men that aren't around to teach their children the balance of emotions, you know, making good head decisions. Because if you're a man, you know, we know you're not governed by your emotions. And so we need to really watch what we are taking in as men, especially strong men that are going to stand up in our communities and be those men that will give validation to our children. See, wherever you find men that are overly emotional, usually the children are homosexual or they're very promiscuous. They're very immoral. They have these issues. When you don't have a man that can stand up strong and offer validation to the children and validate them with the head stamp of approval in their lives, then they're going to seek to outsource approval. And usually it's going to be through immoral sources. So we need men that'll stand up, because it's more than just a man being in the home. And I tell men this all the time. You know, when you're thinking about divorce, you're thinking about leaving your home, you need to think twice about the children, because it's more than you just not being there. But when children don't get that validation or approval stamp on their lives, they tend to outsource it. And this is where we get the teens now that are out, you know, doing anything they can for approval. And this is something that is just tearing our community apart. That's why I get so upset with preachers when they tell men to tap into their feminine side and be more feminine and emotional and all this old gay stuff, because it just ruins the children. The children get an imbalance. They get an emotional ride from their mother and their father, and then they have no one to make good head judgment calls to teach them, hey, right is right, wrong is wrong, no matter what you're feeling like. And then their emotional quotient goes down, and then they're, you know, they're governed by how they're feeling. They're going by what they're thinking. And we just got to get this out of our community, because it's hurting us. It's hurting us in the workplace. It's hurting us in business. It's hurting us spiritually. It's hurting our churches. Now we have a bunch of leaders of our churches that are emotional, and everything is centered around their emotions and how they feel. That means that they put people around them to make them feel good all the time. This is where we get, you know, all of these armor bearers and all of these coat carriers and all of these, you know, Carmex lip put-ons and, you know, you know, men that are just following after these men to pretty much worship them and make them feel special. This is because their emotional quotient is low because they don't have the validation approval stamp. And another thing you got to realize is when folks can't find the stuff they're preaching in the Bible, when they can't find the lifestyle they're living approved of by God in the Bible, then they need the people's approval. They need the people's validation. They need people to clap for them and praise them and worship them and lift them up. They need, you know, folks running after them and doing everything for them and them just sitting up giving orders and all of this kind of stuff that has crept in to our homes. It's because the man has taken down and is not standing up strong. Thus, it is affecting our churches. And you see these men with thousands of people following them, but their own homes, their failures, because they need the thousands, not the ones in their house. In other words, God knew this would be a problem. That's why he said, if you cannot govern your own house, you're not qualified to govern the house of God, because God understands that whatever's going on in your house is going to be going on in the house of God. Therefore, you need to get your house in check before you try to check the house of God. Why? Because you will use ministry as your stamp of approval or your validation. And this is where we are right now in America, in our churches. We have men that are using the platform of God to get the approval of people. And then we as a people are so shallow sometimes, and we are so ignorant to the facts sometimes, until we begin to offer this validation to men. We begin to allow them to lift themselves up. We begin to, you know, pastor this and pastor that. And then we start the Catholicism, daddy and father and master and, you know, bowing down before them and really worshiping men. And this whole thing is causing doctrinal mixture that God is not pleased with. This is why Jesus mentioned it twice in the book of Revelations in his address to the seven churches of Asia, that he hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. What is that doctrine? That is a corrupt doctrine mixing the doctrine of paganism with the doctrine of God. And I know I just came out the gate and jumped right in this. You can tell this has been burning me up all week. You know, I've been looking forward to coming with this, but this is something that we better recognize right now in our homes, especially with the population of single mothers now. We have so many single mothers now in our churches, and we have so many one parent households in our churches. Don't you understand that this is prime opportunity for a man that is insecure to come in for the kill? I mean, he can come in and manipulate that situation and gain that single mother as his biggest fan. And that's what they want to do. They want to spiral off what you see on TV, and they want to become celebrities, and they don't want members. They want fans. They don't want members. They want people to just follow them no matter what they say. I mean, it trips me out sometimes how people can just watch a man preach and he mix false doctrine with true doctrine, and he'll say whatever he wants to say and people won't budge. They won't leave. They won't question it. And then when you come against it, they're like, don't you touch the man of God. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. And I'm trying to tell him, I ain't finna kill him, but I'm not agreeing with his doctrine. His doctrine is corrupt, and it's up to us as men of God. But see, the problem is we don't have a lot of men that are willing to stand up because they're afraid it may hurt their upward mobility. They're afraid that it may stop them from getting on TV or radio. It may stop their opportunity to preach at the big conference. So they don't say anything. But by not saying anything, we are angering God. We talked about that last week, where God said, I looked for a man that would make a difference between the sacred and the profane. And because he couldn't find one, he said he would pour out his anger or his wrath. And this is where we are today. Don't you understand, people, that God has poured his wrath out on America? The reason we are having financial issues, the reason why other nations are coming against us, superpowers, and coming against us with weapons and all of these things, because we have laid down and we're not preaching the foundation of holiness and truth anymore. We have taken down for an opportunity to have some kind of success in ministry. Our preachers, for the opportunity to drive the nice car, live in the nice house, they're taken down. They're not preaching against the sins of the people. And the scripture tells us that we should do that. So this is why we are in the trouble we're in. in America right now. And it, I mean, it's just befitting with Revelations 2:1, where Jesus' first address was to the church at Ephesus. These are the same problems that Ephesus was having. Now, we know, we read last week, 2:2 says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, hast patience, and for my name's sake, you've labored and have not fainted. So Jesus was commending this church because they were standing up. You were doing what's right. And then he says, but then I have this thing against you, you know, and the way he worded it, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And sometimes, and let's just be real, sometimes even in the fight for righteousness, sometimes we get sidetracked. And a lot of times we get off. A lot of times we just get weary. Being human, we get preoccupied with a lot of the affairs and issues that are going on in our lives, and we, you know, leave the side of God for a minute. And I'm not saying you just go out and do something crazy, but I'm saying that he's not prioritized like he once was. When we first started out, we may have had a fight in us, and then that fight begins to dwindle a bit as we are overcome by the cares of this life. So Jesus, I believe, here in the red writing in 2:4, saying, you know, I have this against thee. You've left your first love. And then he just reminds him and says, hey, but remember, therefore, where you are fallen, and just repent. Do what you were doing first, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I'll remove that candlestick out of his place, except you repent. So Jesus is letting you know, hey, get it together. Just get it together. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep doing what you were doing. I like what you were doing. Keep doing it. Keep naming those false apostles. Let people know who's acting up and who's acting a fool. It don't matter how big you are. See, here's the thing. We sometimes feel like because a person is popular, or because a person is a movie star, or because a person is a celebrity, that they're going to be judged on some kind of scale different from a normal person. But in God's eyes, when he said he had no respect of person, this is what he's talking about. He's saying that, you know, it don't matter what the world says about him. He's judging us all the same. We are all judged equal. So because a man is lifted up in the earth doesn't mean he's lifted up in God's eyes. Now, let me tell you this. It is so funny how, you know, when there's a celebrity or a bishop or a pastor that's lifted up that we like, immediately we deem them as one that cannot be touched, or don't say anything against them. But then if it's just a little preacher that may have 10 people, and if he's saying something you disagree with, they're like, see, that's why he asked 10 people. And so we make a difference. But in God's eyes, there is no difference. TV don't make God's preachers. Listen to what I'm saying. Radio does not make God preachers. God will get his word out regardless of what you try to do, regardless. See, God does not need the vehicles of men to preach his message. I am a living witness here at EX Ministries. We are living witnesses. God told me to build a website. We put a website up. We sold 1 million DVDs because God wanted them out. We didn't have the stores. We didn't have the retail. We didn't have the radio. We didn't have the television. We didn't have any of that. But God wanted the message out. So I'm a living witness that TV don't make a preacher. It does not make a preacher, but people get on these platforms and they think that they are something great and cannot be judged or cannot be called out. And that is partly the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which we'll talk about in just a second. So Jesus is saying, hey, just repent. That's all you have to do. But then in Revelations 2:6, Jesus just slides this in there. And I love this. He just says, but now you do have this. Now, this is what I like. That you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And I love the way he slipped that in there, because he wants people to know, hey, this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the merge or the mixture of the sacred and the profane, I'm not with that. Ezekiel 22 kind of gives us a glimpse into this doctrine of the Nicolaitans. He says, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. So he's really saying that, hey, here's the problem right here in the nutshell. You're not making a difference between what is right, what is wrong, what is clean, what is unclean, what is sacred, and what is profane. Now, we are living in a time now where there is just such a big mixture. You see it on TV shows. You could turn on a TV show. And I warned people maybe 10 years ago about the dangers of what was going on BET. And I remember Kurt Franklin came on there and began to say how, you know, BET needed more Christian programming. And I knew he was really positioning himself for what he's doing now. This is that whole Sunday's Mess show that comes on where, you know, you have the secular people, the unsaved, up singing songs like it's going to do God a favor by them singing a song. And do you know, if they win, then they automatically get their songs in your church by recording an album with a national recording company. And then their albums are put in the store and they automatically are approved for the church so they can come in. Their songs, you know, they're on the road in the church, whatever. And there's no lifestyle check here. And you know, there's no lifestyle check by all the homosexuals that's in there. You got homosexual judges, you got homosexuals singing in the audience, you got them everywhere. Nobody's making any difference between the clean and the unclean, the sacred and the profane. Why? Because the enemy wants there to be no difference. He wants you to look at the gospel and see something that's profane. He wants you to look at the gospel and see an abomination. And that is what we have on that show and many other shows, many other venues. They're everywhere. The gospel music industry, period. You got Mary Mary singing with secular artist David Banner. You got Yolanda Adams singing with Bone Thugs and Harmony. You got all of this mixture. Nobody's saying anything. And we at EX Ministries have been warning people for years that this is what was coming. Well, this is what Jesus is upset about. This is right here where he says, now, the thing I like about you, Ephesus, the thing I really like about you is that you have a problem with the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, he said, which I also hate. So he does not like the mixture. Why? Because that mixture defiles the church. It defiles Christianity as a whole. Now, if you do your research here, you'll find out that even in this time, people got overly zealous and wanted to come up with a way to cause a greater move of God. In other words, they wanted to make God appeal to the masses. And this is where danger comes. See, God does not need us to twist the gospel so that we make the gospel more appealing. The gospel doesn't have to be appealing. The gospel is the truth. And unless a man is convicted in his heart and unless the Spirit of God draws that man, then that man is not going to be led unto Christ. So you can change your music to make it sound like, you know, like the holy hip hoppers. We're going to have holy hip hop, a hip hop version to make it sound like the regular hip hop. And instead of it being Tupac, we're going to have the gospel version, which is Gupac. And he's the gospel version of Tupac, or the gospel version of Rihanna, and it's Hiana, you know, and look kind of like Tonay. And you know, we're gonna have all of these different mixes and merges to try to appeal to people, when honestly God does not need our help like that. All God wants us to do is live right before him so he can direct us. He said, if you acknowledge me in all your ways, I'll direct your path. When you mix and merge the gospel or the sacred and the profane, then what you come up with is some hybrid movement that is not even reflecting God anymore, but is pushing some kind of monetary situation so that people can prosper from it. And that's all this is. People only get ambitious when it's going to lift them up or cause them to make more money. Now, here we go. Right back to what I was saying in the beginning, where you got a nation full of insecure people, insecure leadership. So they need a vehicle so that they can be approved of and prosper. So what they want to do is they want to take the world, mix it with the church, merge it together, and then it makes them look ingenious, like they have really done something, and then it makes them feel good because people are applauding it. But what happens is Christ is lost in the process. This is the danger of this era of the Nicolaitans. We don't look for favorable opportunities to preach the gospel. Let me say that again. We, as true preachers, we don't look for favorable opportunities to preach the gospel. We preach the gospel when it's favorable and when it's not favorable. Man, if we could set up the perfect opportunity and always have it just right when we're going to the way we're going to present the gospel, we're going to put it in a package and wrap it up to make it look like this or that, then we're using our own methods. And we're basically saying that when the situation is not ideal, we don't preach the gospel. Or we're really saying that that preacher that is just straight preaching the word of God, he's ineffective because he is not waiting for
for favorable opportunities, or he's not trying to reposition himself and all that. Don't you understand, people? All of this is compromise. It's just basic compromise. Let me read something to you. Now, this is 2 Timothy 4:2, and this is the amplified version. Now, listen to this. It says, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand, and be ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as preachers of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and in teaching. So Paul is telling Timothy, look, it's going to get where the situation is never going to be favorable to preach the gospel. But in those instances, you still have to stand on the truth of the word. This is why Jesus was saying to this church at Ephesus, I like the fact that you don't like the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You're not merging. You're not trying to fit in. Oh, people, please hear this next thing I'm about to tell you. This is very important. When you have a nation full of people that are looking for approval and validation, what they're really looking for is esteem. And they're getting their esteem from the approval of men. In other words, when you find that child in the school that felt like nobody likes them or feels bad or down on themselves and have lower self-esteem, what are they going to turn to? They're going to turn to man-pleasing. In other words, they're going to get people around them and give in to peer pressure so people will accept them. They're going to do what the crowd is doing. They're going to please the crowd. They're going to live for an opportunity to be accepted. So they're going to do whatever it takes for general acceptance. When that person grows up and starts pastoring a church and does not deal with those validation issues, they're going to use that church as an opportunity to get approval, to get approved of. They're going to use that church, that platform, that stage as an opportunity, especially if they're dealing with things like homosexuality. See, if they're dealing with homosexuality, which most of these bishops that are very visible in the body of Christ, most of them are dealing with homosexual issues. When they deal with homosexual issues, you know they have lived a life of being ridiculed and talked about. You know they have lived a life of being ostracized and an outcast because of the lifestyle that has been hindering them. Well, when they get in position of a bishop, especially when they're a bishop over thousands and pastors of churches, what are they going to do? They're going to use that opportunity for validation. See, nature itself does not validate them. Nature is against them. The Bible does not validate them. The Bible is against them. So because they don't have God in their corner, because they don't have nature in their corner, they're going to have to use the stage and the platform to get the validation of the people. They need people to approve of them and lift them up because God is not going to promote them. That's why we see in our churches homosexual musicians just overrun, because they're using music as an opportunity to be lifted up. That's why we see singers and performers in the church. They use music for validation. They need you to clap and say that was good, that was great, because they don't have the validation of God and his word. They don't even have the validation of nature. That's why the homosexual agenda is so strong even in the world. That's why they get so upset and ready to fight. And that's why they jumped on that lady in LA and they're all mad, because they need validation. They're in your face. They want marriage. They want to be approved of. They need you to approve of their lifestyle. Why? Because nature itself is rejecting them. So they need validation. And this need for validation and to be approved of is why our church, our community, we as a people are in trouble. You know, we have a STD rate of 1 in 2 among African-American teenagers. That means 1 in every 2 teens have an STD in America. Why is that? Because our young people need sex as validation. Why are they all over MySpace and putting their nude pictures and bikini pictures on Facebook and MySpace? Why? Because they need validation. And this fundamental need to be validated is what is destroying us as a people, but not just for the children. Listen, this is where our leaders are. We have leaders that stand up in church and they say cute little sayings and they want to be lifted up and they got all the armor bearers looking after them. And these are the deeds of the Nicolaitans. This is what Christ hates, because when a person seeks to be validated, they are seeking self-glorification. And when they're seeking self-glorification, they cannot deny themselves. Y'all, this undermines the crucifixion of our Savior Jesus Christ. This is why I preach so hard against sororities and fraternities. This is why I preach so hard against Freemasonry. This is why I preach so hard against celebrityism and being lifted up in the flesh and being famous and all of these things. And even myself, I have to make sure I'm denying myself, because this is the foundation of salvation. That is, if any man come to Christ, he must first deny himself. You can't take up your cross and follow him without first denying yourself. So listen, this doctrine of the Nicolaitans that Jesus spoke of in Revelations, it is just false God worship, and it causes one to not deny himself. Fundamentally, y'all, this is an issue. This is an issue with us as a people. This is an issue with us as a nation. This is an issue with us, period. This is why immorality is on the rise, because when self is not denied and self is absorbed, it causes immorality and self-pleasure and pleasure seekers. And that ultimately will end us as a people, because God always comes in and destroys nations that are given wholeheartedly to immorality. So we have to make sure this doctrine of the Nicolaitans dies in our churches. We got to make sure we are not following men that are insecure. We got to make sure we're not following men that are struggling with these kinds of issues, that are using the body of Christ as an opportunity to feel like they're something and to shine and to look good and to, you know, be glorified before men. We have to make sure that these deeds are not being done before us. Because Christ said he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and we should hate it as well. Let me pray as we end this broadcast. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for this broadcast. And Lord, I thank you for your messages to the 7 churches. God, I thank you for the insight. And God, I pray right now that those that have been listening, Lord, I know conviction has come. I know, God, that there are, you know, many of us that have issues, Lord. Many of us have been molested or raped or hurt in our childhood. A lot of us struggled with things that made us different, things that made us look different, things that, you know, made us stand out. And God, I know that growing up that way, especially without a father in the home, some of us have insecurities. Some of those that grew up that way, they're just overly emotional and they have issues. Many may have been adopted, don't even know their biological parents. And you, God, all these things that we go through as children, Lord, these things carry over as we get older. I pray right now, God, your ability to make us new and make us a new creature needs to come into effect, and we need to be born again for real, Lord. It's not just sitting in a chair and saying, I want to accept Christ, but we need to be reborn, God, to get rid of these issues, God, because these issues are plaguing us as a people. They're plaguing us as a church. And Father, now those that grew up in those eras have grown up now, and now they're pastoring, now they're leaders, now they're bishops, and they've had these insecurities through these issues, and now it's being spread like wildfire all over the body of Christ, God, and people aren't being helped, but people are being led astray by leadership. I pray right now, God, that with the authority you've given me, that this message, God, will enter into those arenas, into those hearts, that people will begin to deny themselves again, deny the pleasures of the flesh, deny what they want to do in their agenda. God, they'll begin to take down down their MO and give it to you, Lord, and truly deny themselves so they can follow you wholeheartedly. God, you have a master plan for all of our lives, but we'll never get it, and we can never embrace it. We can never take up our cross and follow you until we first deny ourselves. God, help us to hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans like you do. And help us, Father God, not to go after our flesh or other gods, but to serve you in true self-denial. In Jesus' name. We'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.